Lucretia, if you want to work on one of your baskets while you're talking to me, that's fine.
Yeah?
If you feel like it. One thing we need to know about a white oak basket is, what do you do to a split when it's too thick?
I takes my knife and take the split and kind of bend it, you know, just like if it's too thick along the side. Long, not the side, because I scrape it off on the side. But I'll bend it just like this when it's too thick a place, and just tip a little bit of it up like that and hurl it off. And that'll get it more thinner, you know, like you want to use it. You just feel it and see how it is and get it down to what you want it to. Break it off a little bit, and it's ready to use.
Lucretia, can you remember any games that you used to play when you were a little girl?
Any games? Let me see.
There's a special one I'm thinking about right now. It was a little song you'd sing. It was Palm a Needle, Palm a Needle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to play the little Palm a Needle. We'd get us a needle and maybe cut that and have this for the needle. Have the needle pay everybody couldn't see. And you'd hold it in our hand. And then we'd have a ring of children ringed up. And that when we got the needle, he'd get in the middle of the ring. And they'd go to singing, Palm a Needle. And they'd say, Palm a Needle, Palm a Needle is a running. Palm a Needle, Palm a Needle is a running. Catch that needle, Palm a Needle. They'd be just trying to catch the needle then. Catch that needle, Palm a Needle is a running. Someone said, Palm a Needle ain't running. That's when she done slipped it to one. Palm a Needle is running. Palm a Needle, Palm a Needle is running. And when you slip it to that one, then you'd back out and stand in the ring, and that and take it and go on round singing Palm a Needle. And it was a funny play, you know, when you get to playing it. And we played many old ring plays, because we used to play Rush Gator Rush. Now, that was a funny play. I never did learn all of that, but it was a busy play. And some of them used to call themselves be dancing on it. It sing that was old real. Mama said, that's real, y'all singing. But Cousin Henry Edwards would be our ringleader, and he would sing the song. He'd sing it, but he'd say, I ain't never exact just learned what he said, but he says, some people say a gator can't rush, but just let me tell you what an alligator done. He did something other. He started round the world. By some time, he said, but he rushed in here by the setting of the sun. Say, now, didn't that gator rush? And they'd be hollering, hey, didn't that gator rush? Oh, yes.
Was there a special tune to that song? Can you remember the tune to it? Was that a song that he'd sing?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was Rush Gator Rush. They'd say, oh, Rush Gator Rush, hey, Rush Gator Rush. Oh, didn't I get a rush? Hey, didn't I get a rush? And they'd be that's patting. And when every time the gator, you know, would be in the ring and he'd get one of the girls to swing. Oh, rush, gator, rush. Hey, rush, gator, rush. Some people say a gator can't rush. Just let me tell you what the alligator done. Hey, didn't I get it right? He went round the world by something of it, say, and he rushed in hell by the setting of the sun. Oh, I mean.
So, well, most of the ring games that you had little songs that you'd sing with them then.
You mean like they was playing ring? Yes. We used to have, you know, I can't remember all them things at once. I remember them at time. But we'd play now I'm thinking about move, send, move. We used to play that. Say move, send, move. Hey, move, send, move. Move to the other show. Hey, move to the other show. And then move and get apart and just be moving about. Move, send, move. And, we used to play a lot of plays. I'm done about forgotten. We'd play one, it was Tidy Out Baby. We'd sing, Tidy Out Baby, Tidy Out Baby, Tidy Out Baby, Tidy Out, oh Lord, Tidy Out. And they'd be moving there. I asked that woman, Tidy Out, would she be my wife? Tidy Out, she chopped at me, Tidy Out. With the butcher knife, Tadia, oh Lord, Tadia. Well, Polly and Adkin used to sing that. Tadia, my baby. Let me see now what else. We would have us some little speeches you called to say for school closing. We'd have our little songs and speeches to say then. And I had one speech would say, under the spreading chestnut tree, the village smith he stood, a smith, a mighty man is he, with long and sandy hair. His brows is wet with honest sweat, his face is like the tan, he looks the whole world in the face, for he owes not any man. Week in, week out, from morning till night, you can hear his bellows blow. You can hear him slinging his heavy sledge and his measure beating slow. Like the section ring the bell when the evening sun is low. You go on Sunday to the church and he sits among his boys. He hear the pastor preach and pray. He hear his daughter's voice singing in the village choir. It sound to him so much like her mother's voice for how in the grave she lied.
Oh, the Creedy. That's really an... That was one of your speeches that you gave at school?
One of my speeches, that's right. And one was up in the blue and starry sky. A group of owls one evening met as they took their highest flight into the highest heaven. And they was going to tell of all that had been done by little children, good or bad, since the last rising sun. And one was bearing up a prayer a little boy had said, full of harmony and love, while kneeling by his bed.
Oh, that's really nice. You made those up yourself. No?
Sure did. Yes, remembers them.
Just remembered them from a child.
That's it. Because I remember one my oldest sister said, and I always kept that in view. It was looked like a sad speech. It was about the bare feet mating. She was cutting hay when the rich man rode by her. And we used to say sister's speech. Sister used to tell us to shut up her speech, but us would say it anyhow. But I learned it.
Well, how does that
and
one go?
And it would say, sweet Myrtle Miller, one summer day, as she raked the meadows sweet with hay. Sweet Myrtle Miller, one summer day, now, I'm about to go. The rich man sighed, hey me, hey that I was free again, was free as when I rode that day with the bare feet mating right to he. Well, I just well hushed that because I done forgot part of it.
Oh.
Done left me. Oh, yeah.
I know you spent a lot of your happy times near a persimmon tree, near the Coastline Railroad.
You mean us?
Mm-hmm.
When the Coastline Railroad came through, I was most in my 20s when that Coastline Railroad come through.
But isn't there a persimmon tree near there?
Persimmons?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we used to love to go to the persimmon tree. And I went to the persimmon tree so and I'd carry Bud, Took, and Little Buddy. And Dottie, them was small kids under me. And I was a head rambler. And we'd go to every cemetery around. And I was the clammer. So I went, and I'd tell them to stay on the ground. I'd go up the tree and shake it kind of. And they'd pick up the cemetery. So one day, I went, climbed the tree, and I up the tree, getting around up there, and Bud said, baby. I said, huh? Ooh, he said, look down that to that tree. I said, what at? He said, what a big moccasin. I said, where he is? And they pointed to me. I ain't never seen that snake. You know, it's a wonder I didn't get killed. I got off, crawled off kind of on a limb and jumped. And I jumped as far as I could, where I could fall way off. Didn't know I'd be knocking you about out when I hit the ground. But I got up from there and hustled on off from there. And Bud and them just laughed. Oh, Lord, they laughed. But that broke me off from going up a tree. And ain't looking to reckon the snake was full up there somewhere when I climbed it. and I was a good hand to go out and bend down pines. So I'd bend all them horses down first, and then I'd go get me a good-sized pine and bend it down. So I bent, put one down, took one, little buddy. They riding their pines. Then I went and bent me one down. And I bent me a good high one. And then I clammed it. Clammed mine and got bent it. Caught the top of it, popped out. Here I come down through the tree. And when I hit that ground, I bet you I was in it then. I hurt my back so bad. But that didn't stop me from climbing. I climbed right on.
So you'd ride pine trees. You'd bend them down?
That's what we ride. Us would ride them like us had a horse, you know. You can bend them and they'll bounce backward and forward, you know, a good size when you're just riding them. And I'd get them one to suit them and get me a big one. Hey, that'd be shooling me up in there. And the top broke out of mine, letting me hit the ground.
Hmm. Yes, well, that sure sounds like fun.
Yeah, we'd have a lot of fun in our children's days. I tells the kids now, they don't have no fun like we did then. They think that was old fogyism back in then. Like, we had fun, I said, but it was fun long then to us.
Can you remember any other things that you used to do to have fun?
Well, we used to go in cold cell swimming. I didn't never learn to swim. Cause the time I go to sink my head, I'd snatch it back up. But us would go in the branch. We wouldn't go in no bad deep water. When the branch did up good, we'd go in the branch. And Bud and little Buddy learned how to swim. And so they cleaned out a nice place up the run to swim in. But I always was afraid moccasins was in it because I'd see snakes in the branch and I know they went up there. And I wouldn't go in there. But anyhow, we'd try to swim in the branch. But I didn't never learn it. So I didn't have no fun in swimming. Because I didn't mean to get drowned.
Did you have paper dolls when you were a little girl?
Had paper dolls, rag dolls, and I used to beg the Santa Claus to bring me a wax doll. And every Christmas, that poor Sandy, I thinks about that now. I say, poor Sandy. I said, Sandy wasn't able to bring me no doll, and I didn't know it. People wouldn't tell the children like they tell them now. They didn't tell them the plain thing, that it wasn't a Santa Claus. It was the mother and father giving them the thing. And I just knowed it was a Santa Claus. Man, when Santa Claus morning, I'd look for that Santa Claus tracks behind that chimney. And Sandy'd be bending, got the broom and swept down the chimney. Sometime us would see for his old big toe. He got the meal sack and shook it and his old foot track there. I say, Papa, you ain't been in your meal bag. Papa'd say, yeah, he gonna keep on till I'm gonna kill him. Run him out. I wouldn't want to hear him say that because I didn't want Sandy to get mad. And once Christmas, the water got high. It just rained. And it rained Sandy out. And we hung up our stockings. And Mama said, she said, I don't know. She said, I hope Sandy will be able to get you. She said, but I don't know. I don't believe Sandy will be able to get you. She knowed better. This year, because it's raining so, Sonny, he about can't get nowhere with his sled. I hoped he could get some. And that night when I went to bed, it went like I heard Sandy fall in the branch. And I was hating it so bad. I said, Sandy done fell in that branch, because that branch was up. I said, Sandy done fell in the branch, and this waste all that stuff in the branch. And I wanted him to bring that candy and stuff on home. And so, that morning, us didn't have nothing. Sandy Claw ain't bring us nothing. So, that was. So, the next year, I'd ask Sandy to bring me a dog. Bring me a dog. Sandy bring me beads, some little dishes, different little thing. It was so many of us to bring something till they couldn't bring no nothing much. And I was glad for them, but I still said, Sandy didn't bring me no dog. Then I'd go down home to Aunt Neely's, and Aunt Sandy'd be bring Cousin Lily a dog and dog dishes. And me and her was long together, and I'd say, wonder why Sandy didn't bring me none. I say, must have given them all to them before he got to us. Yes, sir. And I just learned my aunt and Mitch and Laura told me she come and spent the night with us one Christmas night. And it's getting around there. And I meet she Creedy. I said, ma'am. She said, Jenny ain't never told y'all that it ain't no Santa Claus. Us were big teenagers. I said, no Santa Claus. I said, yeah, it's a Santa Claus. She said, no, it ain't, Nan. She said, your mama and daddy gonna put them things in your stocking. Or put it where you put it. That's all it be. She said, sissy, that's letting y'all grow up around here and ain't telling you nothing. And I felt sad then, because it won't no Sandy. I said, well, so. Them younger children would watch for Sandy. They'd watch old Sandy and catch up with him. Say, sure, I know it ain't no Santa Claus. Say, I seen him doing such and such a thing. Somebody thought they'd go to cutting some grass.
Yeah, it's a nice day for it.
It sure is. But my grandboy said he was coming and cut me some grass, but he ain't come yet.
Who brought all your white... Isn't that your white oak out there under your shed?
That's right. See, T.J. bringed it. I told him, I said, T.J., you meant to get through with me and not have to fool with me no more to wreck you. You was tired of me worrying you every time I get through with a piece of old T.L.A.R. I said, when you bring me a heap like that, I guess lazy and don't make no baskets.
It sure doesn't seem like children have much fun anymore, not believing in Santa Claus.
Well, look like to me they enjoys it good right on. They just got more sense than the children used to have, so you can't blame them for that. They just, the Bible said that the generation would grow weaker and wiser, So that's the way they is. They grow weaker and wiser. They are more weaker. They can't stand the work us used could do. But they can, they got more understanding and things about things than we had. Because now we used to could go in the field and work, do a day's work, and it wouldn't do nothing to us. Now these kids would faint out if they had to do the work we used to do.
That's right.
As I was telling my granddaughter last night, I said, her mama was telling me about how she worked to try to clean up and do. I said, well, and the children there and ain't hopeful. But when time to eat, she said, it's right there to eat. I said, well, I wouldn't feed them. I said, it'd have to help me work some. I said, because all of us got to eat. I said, and they have to learn to work. I said, now, if you ever leave and get you a husband, I said, you got to do your own work, you know. I said, you ain't going to stay with your mama all the time. She said, I ain't going to marry. I said, well, I said, you want to marry someday. And I said, you have to do your work. I said, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Lucretti, you worked in the cotton field some, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Worked in a cotton field all my life till I married away from home. And then after I married, I came to a cotton patch and worked there a while. And then my husband quit farming and he went on the public job. Well, that rested me up then. I left it.
Do you remember anyone spinning the cotton?
You mean selling it? That's right. I have went to the gin with them to gin it. And see them, you know, gin it. Stood up and see them feed it to the, you know, they take, I don't know if it was a pitchfork or something, but they push it in a hole and it, no, the last gins, you just hold something all over your truck body, and it sucks the cotton out the truck body. That's the way it emptied the last time. But it used to, they had to push it in and load it with the hands and then load with baskets. But they had it better these last days. They just catch that great big old something like a pipe and then hold it over the truck, and it'll just suck that cotton up, and when it come out over yon, it's beautiful white linen, and the seeds going one way and everything, and then they pick up your pounds of cotton and they'll pay you for that, and then they buy the seed if you want to sell them. There it goes.
Well, what would they do with the cotton after they cleaned it and had the seeds out?
They bale it. Bale it in a something like a crocus. The great big old bale. Let me see, a bale of cotton. Let me see, weigh 500 pounds. Some bale weigh 500 pounds. Some weigh, I think, more than that. But to have them bale tight, they can roll them. And you know, linen is fluffy. But when they bale it, it's packed together. And they're going to ship it off then. All our cotton would be shipped, I reckon, overseas or somewhere. Where they make cloth. And they make cotton fabric out of it, all kind of stuff. But we don't make no cotton.
You don't remember anyone that would make their own, like spin it on a spinning wheel and then weave their own cloth?
Sure don't. Now, I hear my mother say her old grandmother used to spin with her spinning wheel, spin it out and make battens for quilts. She'd carved that. She had carved us something like 2 curry combs and carved it and then laid in the quilt. It was some would spin and make, you know, somebody knows something all the time and make clothes with it, make knitted stockings and things like that. People had sense. And they used to make some of the prettiest embroidery look like, to be sure. That'd be all going in back years, cotton. That was the people's money crop, was cotton. Didn't have nothing else.
Monticello had a cotton place, didn't they? It was a factory.
That's right. It's got a gin down there now. It's right down the road there, a piece. I've been to that gin with cotton. And Little Lamont used to have a little gin down there. Because I went down there and carried some cotton. But the last we carried it to Quitman, Georgia. It was quitting fooling with it here.
Do you know the reason that they quit fooling with it?
Boll weevils. Boll weevils got so bad the people couldn't make no cotton. Yeah. I know in the times when they planted cotton, it would do you good to look at a pretty cotton patch. When long in about July, it'd be bowled out, and them cotton stalks sometimes they'd just be leaning off like that with bowls until August. They'd go to opening, you'd go to seeing white cotton. And every time you pick it, the stalks would stand up better. You'd pick some off it, and it'd be so pretty. Oh, I'd wish I could pick all the whole figure. Couldn't pick so much cotton. But the last time I picked, and I picked 130 pounds. And I thought I was doing so. Won't get but $3 a hundred neither. You be done bend down some when you picked 100 pounds. And you done grab cotton from row to row. Because the way we do me and sister, my sister-in-law and her uncle would get us, he'd have 2 rows, me 2, she 2, and then us would get a grab row. And me and him would have that grab row in the middle of me and him. And we'd grab off it, and I'd tell sister, she could grab off my side row, but she couldn't keep up. We'd have to grab off her row and keep her up. And she couldn't poke it and never get 100 pounds. She wasn't no good cotton picker. But she tried. And the next thing was good money-making thing was these tongue oils. When they come in fashion, when they first came out, they gave us 25 cents a sack. And, I used to could take my kids and go out there and make good, but they wouldn't let you make no money. They'd try you for maybe a half a day. And when they see you making too good, they'd stop you. And when you come to look, they done carried the price down lower. They wouldn't stay up to that quarter. You was making too much. They used to raise a lot of peanuts and sweet potatoes, but sin got among all of it and just went to doing it so bad till you can't raise nothing much now. So I just don't try to worry you too much, because now you can plant a patch of ice potatoes out there and they get to growing so pretty. And if you don't keep them poisoned like a done a what, when you look, you don't see no ice potato. The bugs done ate them. Because Jimmy Hall had a nice patch of ice potatoes up there. And I see them come up, I said, Jimmy got him a nice patch of ice potatoes. So next time I saw him, I said, he need to plow them so he can get the dirt up to him where he can make potatoes. And Ethel say, if he don't do something to him, he ain't gonna have none directly. I said, what you mean? She said, poison him. I said, what, them mean bugs done got him? She said, yeah. So I see the bugs done about stripped them. And one year I had three rows out there in front of my door. They was beautiful. And they had some in the bottom down yonder. They had some beautiful. And I went by there going to see Tudney. And when I looked, the bugs was eating them up. I stopped. I said, Lord, I said, it's a plum sin you can't raise nothing. And them bugs at them taters of them, one day I started down that road and I seen them coming up the hill. You know, I looked down and there go a red one, one of the other kind coming. I said, look at him, for God's sake, go into my house. I said, they're going at my taters. I said, I'm going to poison my taters when I go back. So I come back and I dust mine. And that kept them off. But if you don't have some dust to put on those things, you're likely not to have greenness. Even the rose bushes in the yard, these little black Georgia thumpers, they be just, and they are hard, that you can't kill them with dust. They just crawl and some of them get so big and fat they can't hardly go.
It didn't used to be like that, did it?
It didn't used to be like that. I don't know where it come from, but I remember years ago, it'd been a good many years now, 120th of May, Mr. Anderson, he's dead and gone, he's been gone. He got up out there and he talked, and he told them what was coming. He said, they didn't believe it. It didn't seem like it to them. But he said, by and by, it'll be so you can't raise nothing. He said, for the things eating it up. And he told us in one place, he said, the locusts had it out of a place and said it was on the way somewhere, he called it. I don't know whether he said in Texas or somewhere, but he said when they fly up, they darken the sun. And I said, great goodness, I say, I hope they don't never get you, but I declare something done got you. Person used to could go throw out something anyway and plant it, and it'd do good. Can't do it now. A potato, you plant it, and when you come to look, the bugs is all in it. All through it. You just can't get a clear tater.
Lucretti, you have any of the games that you played as a child, none of them have come back to you yet anymore?
I don't believe it is.
Did you ever do anything with clothespins? Play any games with clothespins?
Didn't never had no clothespins. Didn't have no clothespins in them days. they'd hang the clothes on the palings. That's the way they would hang them in them back yonder days. Sure would.
They'd hang them on what?
On. They'd have boards got out, rived out of pines, and they would always have them cut with a sharp point. They was pretty. They'd have them cut like that. And they'd have palings all around the house. You know, a smart person. And they was rived paling just like this rived out of pine. And they nail them on. Maybe a nail here and a nail here. And then you could hang your clothes on there. They'd stay on there. So would. Didn't have no wire to hang on like we has now. But now, playing with dolls, I used to make doll beds out of corn stalks and things like that. I'd get me some corn stalks and make doll beds, make my doll chairs, and they would look cute too. I'd cut my, get me some little pine boards and cut the railings about that long. And the corn stalks, you know, was kind of soft, and I'd stick them in the corn stalk. And then I'd have one cross that way and one that way, and have my headpiece high on the feet. Then sometime I'd put a little net over it and have my doll's bed made up. All that trying to make a life. He made it. Just to make rag dolls and doll clothes. I love to just sew doll clothes.
How old were you when you learned to sew your doll's clothes?
I reckon I was about maybe six. I'd go to botching up, making something. Mama be piecing up quilt pieces. I'd sit down by and beg her for scraps. She'd give me a scrap and a needle, and I'd sit down and sew. Sometime pack them together till Mama tell me, that ain't the way to fix them. She take them loose, show me how to sew them. I learned how to cut with her scissors and cut my doll something and fix it up. Yes, sir, till I learned how to make doll clothes. And I loved it to sew. From that, I learned how to make my own clothes. Now I done forgot it.
Well, what are you doing to that, Lucretti?
I'm going to put it in there for a short rib. Run out. I'm going to sit it in there. Yeah, can carry the basket a little higher. That one spot, anyhow, may have two of them. It's right around here.